Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Have you ever trained with kettlebells? If you have, then you know that a little bit unlike weights, they're weighted a little bit differently. And so the angles, the things you do with them are just a little bit different than when you're holding an evenly distributed dumbbell. So how do you use kettlebells safely and not injure your spine or any other part of your body? My guest is Dr. Michelle Olson. She's a professor of exercise physiology at Auburn University in Montgomery. Welcome to the show, Dr. Olson. So kettlebells, tell us the difference between kettlebells and just a plain old dumbbell.
Okay, and that, you know, really that is really simple. And I know a lot of people are intimidated by kettlebells and, you know, have the, you know, the muscle man image of the, you know, back in the, you know, the 20s and 30s and 40s of people on Muscle Beach, you know, with these crazy looking pieces of equipment. But, you know, a dumbbell, as we know, you have a handle and then you have weight on each end of it. So if it's a 10-pound dumbbell, you have a 5-pound weight on one end and a 5-pound weight on the other, and it's balanced across the handle. With a kettlebell, the weight, the whole 10 pounds, for example, is all distributed below the handle. So it will easily swing. You know, if you just grab the handle and pick it up and kind of move it around, it'll easily swing, you know, from front to back. Whereas a dumbbell, it's not going to swing. You've got it in your hand, and that weight's going to stay balanced, you know, on each side. So with kettlebells, you can generate what we call momentum. So if you're doing something like a swing, which is a foundational move, you have your feet fairly far apart, a little wider than a squat. You bend your knees slightly, and you don't really do a squat. That's right there is something that's important to learn about kettlebells if you're learning the fundamentals. Do the techniques right. So with the foundational swing move, you bend your knees just a little bit, and then you send your glutes backward with a nice neutral spine. I tell people a lot of times, imagine you're holding groceries in your arms or books. You've got a big pile of books in your arms. You're trying to close the door behind you. What do? You bend your knees a little bit. You push your glutes back, and you bump the door closed with your hind end. That is not a squat, and that's a movement called the hip hinge. The wonderful thing about the hip hinge move, since it is not a squat, your spine needs to stay in neutral, and some of the spine physicians doing muscle studies and looking at the forces on the different lumbar and SI joint structures have found that when you do this hip hinge, it puts a favorable kind of stress along the spine. But again, it's actually favorable. It helps you to keep the natural curve, and then you really start working those deep spinal muscles back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so they get strong. I know the first few
Dr. Olson, when you're talking about the hip hinge, I want to stop you for just a second. What about your stance? If you take too wide of a stance, an overly extended stance during those swings, are you leaving yourself vulnerable to certain injuries, or is a wide stance what you want?
Yeah, you want a fairly wide stance. And here's what is a really easy kind of black and white way to set it up in your mind. If we're all familiar, most of us, with the traditional weight room squat, where your legs tend to be about shoulder width apart and your toes at 12 o'clock. Okay, so what we want to do with the kettlebell swing and the hip hinge is move our feet out wider than that, wider than shoulders. Now, not like you're doing the split, but wider than the traditional weight room squat. And if you want, it's not discouraged, you can turn your toes out slightly as well, just a little bit. They don't have to be straight at 12 o'clock. And that really helps to open up more muscles, more of your low back muscles and more of your glute muscles to really give your back a helping hand. And then again, instead of squatting straight down, you bend your knees slightly, you send the kettlebell backwards you know, through your legs and push your rear end back again, like if you were trying to bump the door closed with your rear end with your arms full. And it's that kind of rocking chair movement, hip hinging movement, that once again, spine doctors are even now teaching people to use to pick up objects. So instead of doing a deep, deep squat, which can wear out your knees, the spine experts are recommending bend your knees a little bit, do a nice long hip hinge, keeping neutral spine, activate those back muscles, and then lift up an object. So
you also don't want
that
to
move.
And it's a great move, but do you want to kind of muscle the bell with the upper body more? You want to use sort of your whole body, right? And also, what about training to failure with dumbbells? If you've got a good spotter, you know, you're training with failure, but with a kettlebell, are you training to failure the same way? So speak about the upper body doing that movement and also training to failure.
Absolutely. Well, when you do the kettlebell swing, again, because the weight is all below the handle, you know, once you start moving an object where the weight is distributed closer to gravity like that, like a kettlebell, all you have to do is get it moving and it'll move a lot on its own. So the role of the upper body with kettlebell exercise, the kettlebell swing move that we're specifically talking about that is spine promoting, spine health promoting, is you really need to use your upper body to control it. So when you do the swing move, you don't swing it with your arms, really. You do the hip hinge, you send the kettlebell, you know, behind you through your legs, and then as you come up and push nicely through your hip joint, that kettlebell is going to move, and your upper body is going to be really important in terms of harnessing and holding on to the bell so, you know, it doesn't fly away from you or fly way up above your head. So that's going to involve your chest muscles, your abdominal muscles. And again, your upper body is really important, but not so much in moving the kettlebell, but in controlling it. So your hips get it going. Your upper body cooperates to control it again and again and again and again. And it is more of a muscular endurance type exercise where you're doing, you know, high reps, maybe 15 seconds with your right arm, 15 with your left, 15 seconds with both arms. Take a break. So higher repetitions, 20 or so at a time, with the swing move. Whereas with dumbbells, if we're working on pure, you know, strength, like in a squat, you know, you're going to load up the barbell, going to use, you know, heavy weight, and maybe, you know, be doing, you know, 6, 8, 10 repetitions at a time. And all of that's good. We all need all of that depending on what sports you're in or, you know, what you need to strengthen. And that's again, the interesting thing about kettlebells is that they are a resistance type of device, but they're not a barbell. They're not a dumbbell. They can be used for strength, but the foundational swing move that's been studied a lot here lately because of the good news for the back is more of a muscular endurance move. So higher rep, moderate weight, take a break, repeat, and you also get some calorie burning, and you'll feel your heart rate go up.
Absolutely, and kettlebells can help your back pain. They can help strengthen your back, but you must, as Dr. Michelle Olson has told you, with that hip hinge and the swing movement, you must control it, like kind of closing a door with your tush. Watch other people do it. Talk to a trainer to get, because you do not want to sacrifice form when you're using kettlebells, because that is just asking for trouble. But when done correctly and properly, they can give you a really great workout and work kind of your whole body at once. It's a great thing to do, so you can try it, and it is good for your back. That is our definitive statement right here on Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine and Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.